يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا. Allah Ta'ala addresses the Rasuls, Anbiya's. Every Rasul is a Nabi, but every Nabi doesn't have to be a Rasul. Nabi is one who receives divine revelation. He receives revelation all the time. He is known as a Nabi. And a Rasul is generally known as that person who's come with an independent Sharia, an independent code of law. Musa al-Islam is a Nabi and a Rasul. He's got an independent code of law. So we call him a Rasul. And Hazrat Harun al-Islam is known as a Nabi because he came to support the same code that Musa alayhi salam was promoting. He stood for a code, he stood for a Sharia, he stood for a way that was divinely appointed. So he's known as a Nabi. And his brother Musa alayhi salam is called a Rasul. So Allah Ta'ala addresses all. Sometimes the Nabi is also called a Rasul. A Rasul in a different respect, one that is a messenger, is conveying the message of Allah Ta'ala, or is receiving a message of Allah Ta'ala, is also a messenger. So the Nabi is also called a Rasul at times. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Allah Ta'ala commands the Rasuls. It means all the Rasuls, the Nabis, all are commanded. What's the command? كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Eat that which is halal and clean, pure. So imagine from all the other commands, this is the command that Allah Ta'ala starts off with, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Man is not given the chance. How must I continue? How must I work when I don't have any fuel? So he hasn't been given the chance to ask the type of question. He is the creator. He is the maker. He is the one that has given you the existence. So he will show you how to sustain the existence. He knows that if he asks you to work, then you will ask him, then how must I sustain myself? So before you could have asked the question, he's already answered it, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Eat of the pure and the halal. Eat of it. وَأَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. And thereafter, what must be your theme? What must be your whole goal? What must be your whole outlook in life? وَأَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Work and work righteous works. Righteous deeds. So he's given you the fuel. He's given you the energy, he's given you the means to sustain yourself, and then he's given you the goal also, the target. So one is the means, and one is then the target. This is the means, this is the fuel, right? And the second is the target, that is your target in life, that is your goal in life. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. It must be like this, then you will be online, you'll be on the cause. But if you change this, if our whole attitude, our whole mind and our whole thinking is that the real cause is to earn money, to earn wealth, and righteous works must be done by the side, by the way, then you have changed the whole plan, the system of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's plan and His program was that this must be the means, and that must be the goal. Therefore, he didn't ask you to work. He asked you to eat, to enjoy. Right? He didn't ask you to strive and to struggle, but what he asked you, to do righteous works. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. So you can be on course, you can be online, until you think like this. But the moment your thinking has drifted from this point, then you'll be out of the cause. Why will you be out of the course? You'll be out of the course because you have made earning the real thing in life. That's the real purpose in life. And righteous works, by the way, whereas here asks you to do something else. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. So he also is asking you that you rather take good fuel. 98 power added, energy added, unleaded, right? So he's asking you to eat pure. That's the fuel. You've got pure fuel, then purity will come out of it. And if you've got dirt, then there'll be dirt coming out of it. There'll be smoke. And too much of fuel will be wasted, and too little journey will be covered, and too much of fuel will be used up. So he says, no, you eat this. This is pure. So you'll cover a lot in spite of you eating less fuel. You take less fuel, but you will gain more. Here also they say energy saving. Right? Here also Allah Ta'ala is saying you the same. It's that we don't apply our minds. That this is unleaded, or this is leaded, and this is 98, so much power added, whatever else. Inni bima ta'amaluna alim. So this is the ground plan. You've come to the ground, and this is the ground plan. Allah Pak's laid down the whole ground plan to you. So then he says you, inni bima ta'amaluna alim. This is as far as your action and your deed. As far as your concept, your understanding and reasoning, what must be your reasoning, what must be your understanding? Right? One is the physical dimension of man, and one is the mental dimension of man. So we are giving to you this, the physical dimension first. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Physical, all physical. وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Physical again. Right? The physical dimension is that you eat pure and clean. And you work pure and clean. You work good. So that's the physical dimension. The physical dimension is subject to the mental dimension. The mind plans the whole game, and after that the entire body carries it out. The mind plans it out. Okay, this is how this building has to be designed. That is the mind. The mind is planning it out. And then he's writing it out on paper. But all this design and all this whole plan is being printed out on paper. It's been sketched out, all that is done mentally. Sometimes that same mental thing is put onto paper. So the physical dimension is only carried out after the mind has completed it. So what must be your mental dimension? What must be the state of your mind? If your mind is right, then the entire body will be right. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. The word for mind in the hadith is known as the heart, right? So if the mind set is right, then the whole physical dimension will be right. The mental dimension must be إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. We have given you the physical dimension, we have given you the groundwork, we have given it to you. But man is not a machine, he is not any other animal. Machines, etc., they just carry out work that is fed to them. If work is fed to them and they carry it out. That's a machine. Animals as well, they don't have the mind to think for themselves. Right. A cow is being fattened and then it's sent to the abattoir. It's being fattened all the time and sent to the abattoir. For hundreds and thousands of years, this is carrying on. And you don't see they have a change in their behavior. Whereas they see their counterparts, they see their friends all being slaughtered all under the knife all the time. They're being fattened for these people. So you don't see them then opposing and striking and going on to a protest march. You don't see them doing it. That we are getting fattened and we're being eaten here all the time. Why must we go under this difficulty? Why must we go under this? So they don't protest. They don't object. They don't take out any march for this. So they don't have a brain of their own. They don't have the mind of their own. They don't have an understanding of their own. Allah Ta'ala has spoke to them differently, and he has spoken to us differently. A machine has got no mind. An animal has got a mind, but not sufficient to guide it. He's got a mind, but haven't got a mind sufficient to guide it. He's seeing that his counterparts, his friends, are being slaughtered all the time. They're living virtually under the knife. But they still carry on. Still carry on fattening themselves and providing fodder, providing food for the rest. So, man, you are not a machine. You're not an animal. But you are subject to the thoughts of your mind. You are subject to your mental thinking. You begin to conform to what your mind has to say to you. So now, how should your mind be planned? How should it be programmed? If you know how to program the mind, then you know how to program the entire physical self. But if the mind is not correctly planned and programmed, then the whole thing will go off. It will go off completely or it will go off partly. So now, how do you program the mind? So you program the mind, إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. I know what you are doing. So that's the program. That's the mindset. That's the vision. That's how you look. إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. They say, كَلَامُ الْمُلُوكُ مُلُوكُ الْكَلَامُ. كَلَامُ الْمُلُوكُ مُلُوكُ الْكَلَامُ. That the words of the king are the kings of words. The words of the kings are the kings of words. Allah Ta'ala doesn't have to fascinate. He doesn't have to impress. He doesn't have to excite us. But really everything is in the word. Everything in his kalam. So what he tells you, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. That this is the state of the mind. إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. Constantly, all the time, in secret, in open, amongst people, at the time of problems, at the time of ease, whilst you are in business, whilst you are traveling, whilst you are at home. Wherever and whatever state you are, إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. You've got this, then you are on the cause. You haven't got this, then no matter what striving you are making, Ramadan came, shall fasting, Tarawih, etc., but the mind is not right. Mind is, just after Ramadan finishes, then all the hell in us will break loose. We'll do whatever we want afterwards. For Ramadan now, let's try and just sudar ourselves, just try and correct ourselves Ramadan time. After that, then we can be free to do as we want. Our eyes will work differently, ears will work differently, our thinking will work differently. Then we don't have to listen to anybody. Ramadan time, we'll have to listen, and then after Ramadan, then we're free. So that's the mind. See, that's the mind. And because of the mind being programmed incorrectly, therefore the behavior is different. Ramadan time, the behavior is different. Out of Ramadan, the behavior goes different. But what is the reason? The reason is that you've got in the mind. So the entire body is, so as to say, enslaved by the mind. See, that's the right word. It's enslaved. But enslaved by what? Enslaved by the mind. Then the mind, how should it be enslaved? The things enslaved you, it enslaved you to do what it tells you. It's reading to you that you must do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. It's enslaved you. Now if it's enslaved you, then what's the right thing? All right, that thing is making me a slave. How must I enslave that thing? It's enslaved me to do this, to do this, to do this. Now, but how must I enslave it? Sometimes you're enslaved by your business. Sometimes by the profession. Sometimes by the friends. Sometimes by the wife. So all are enslaving you. It's one or the other is enslaving you. Sometimes it's business. Sometimes it's profession. Sometimes it's friends. What we say, environment. Right? And sometimes it is the wife. But one or the other is enslaving you. And sometimes is shaitan. Right? These are about the five things that enslave you. Business, profession, friends or environment. Right? And number four is the wife. And number five is shaitan. So one of the five things you are coming under the spell of, when we analyze ourselves, when we sit and analyze ourselves, we'll come to this conclusion that why am I thinking like this? I'm thinking in a certain way, but why do I think like this? Right. Have I got sound reasoning for me thinking like this, behaving like this, conducting like this? Or am I just carrying on? I see another person doing something and I'm carrying on like that. See, a Muslim is different. Allah Pak says in the Quran Sharif, لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا أُمَّيَوْا وَبُكْوَا. What's that ayat? What's the whole ayat? Ji? لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّ وَأُمْيَا. Right? إِذَا وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانًا وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانًا. Now, look at the tafsir of this verse. It's important that we just don't look at the translation, but look at the tafsir. The translation will be, When they are reminded about Allah Ta'ala, then they don't just fall into subjugation straight away. But when لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانَا, when they are reminded about Allah Ta'ala, they don't just fall into subjugation. Deaf and dumb, they just see things and just carry on. No. What are they being reminded about? About Allah Ta'ala. But in spite of them being reminded about Allah Ta'ala, they don't just fall into subjugation. Now, do you understand the wisdom behind this? Do you understand the philosophy behind this? The philosophy of this is that we're seeing a crowd of people doing a certain thing. Right? We don't just go behind them, no? That everybody's doing it. See some Muslim people doing it, now let's do it. Right? We see some people doing. So we don't just go, لَمْ يَخِرُّ عَلِيَا سُمَّ وَعُمْيَانَا. We don't just go like dumb and deaf things and just go and follow and imitate. We don't do that. We go and first find out, is it the right thing? Oh, the whole world is doing it. So why can't we do it? All are sending their children to the Islamic school. Now, can't we send our children? Everybody is doing it. لَمْ يَخِرُّ عَلِيَا. They are in the name of Islam. إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ. Can you see the verse? إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. They are reminded about Allah Ta'ala. When they are reminded about Allah Ta'ala, they don't just fall like deaf and dumb things. So they first go and then find out from Allah Ta'ala. Or the people of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, if you don't have the recourse to ask Allah Ta'ala directly, then the people of Allah Ta'ala, a Nabi has the direct recourse. A Rasul has a direct recourse. Besides a Nabi and a Rasul, everybody will have to go to the people of Allah Ta'ala. Those whose hearts Allah Ta'ala has inspired, illuminated and inspired, you will have to go to them. So you go to Allah Ta'ala, or you go to those people that have been blessed by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala with the right understanding and the right knowledge. إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. Now you're reminded about what? About your dini duties, your dini obligations. Muslim have formed a committee, and the committee says, alright, we're going to buy some musical instruments. Right? Now it's all Muslims, they come with topis, kurtas, beards, they read namaz, they go for hajj, etc. But they have asked you to do it. So, لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّ وَأُمْيَانَا. Whatever they are doing, and how much they are talking about it in the name of deen, but I'm not just going to fall onto it straight. Then you have to refer to the standard. We'll have to refer to the standard. Our Busuganadeen and Mashaykh say that in any movement, you will have two categories of people. Now how must you understand, how must you come to the conclusion that you have adopted the right cause or the wrong cause? Any movement that comes up in the name of deen, you will have two categories of people. And how must you make out that you have adopted the right cause, or you're off the cause? So they say that you will come to understand that this is the right or the wrong if you see the level of maturity and righteousness. See, those that are very, very mature, they're aged, they're mature, right? So you'll see them having a different approach. And then you'll see the young, either they are physically young or they are mentally young. Mentally, they are not matured. They are physically young, or they are young physically, or mentally they are still young. Right? So for everything and for all things and for everything, they're going to make a noise, talk, shout, whatever else. Right? Now, one person came here, and there was some movement, whatever, like how you have Iraq and Afghanistan, Palestine, whatever else. So it's making a noise, etc. I told him, all right, fair and good what you are doing. I don't want to speak. I don't want to discuss this. I don't want to make it an issue. But I want to ask you one single thing. What I want to ask you is, you're making all this noise, and what have you achieved afterwards? What have you achieved afterwards? Made a noise, all right. Became a press issue, media issue. And then after that, what have you achieved? Those Palestinians have become more Allah Ta'ala conscious. The West has become softer in the approach, or they're still causing the same damage that they were causing all the time? Has it in any way improved your lot? So much of money you've spent, so much of theory, discussions you have gone through, but has it worked for you in any way? Then if it hasn't worked for you, it hasn't worked for them, then why do you strive in this way? You work in a way, and before you taking the step, before you embark, then you think about it very carefully. Now, what is going to be the outcome? And why I say you have to think like this is because if you have rooted yourself in a certain way, then to reverse is very difficult. Then it is the pride, it's your ego that has the better of you. Now you admitted your child into a school, for example, right? Islamic school, everything is carrying on. And now there's some evil that's carrying on. Do you have the heart straight away to pull out the child? No, you and your friends will give you 1,001 reasons that you must carry on. You know what? One, two single isolated incidents like this, you mustn't just pull out your child. What's your alternative? So your ego or your friends will have the bit over you, and they'll say, no, you don't do this. You don't do this. So you need to see those people that are very mature, very, very mature. They've aged, they've matured. And number two, they are talking selflessly. They are very sincere in what they are doing. And this day and time, I will tell you, then you must see that in this plan of yours, is there anything forthcoming? You have taken the step, then what are you achieving? How much are you achieving? Right? These steps that we take generally, they only have an effect of healing the symptoms, you see. Like someone has got an eye infection and is just taking some pain tablets just to ease the symptoms. What will you say? By wasting time, go and treat the thing from the root. Won't you say that? He's got a heart problem, they say him to take Panados. Right? Panado, it will just treat the symptom. It won't treat it from the root. So all these other steps that you are taking is just treating the symptom only. But is it getting to the root? Is their thinking changed in any way? Now look at the reasoning. Even our people that are working for this type of things, look at the reasoning. The big issue is zulm and tyranny, oppression. What happened? There was a case where a Palestinian had made zina with an Israeli, lately, about last year sometimes. Right? And it was a press news after that. The whole world was singing about the news. Now, this incident that took place, it happened with mutual consent, Israeli and Palestinian, right? Palestinian man, Israeli woman, and they went and did this. Mutual consent.
The press got hold of it. When they got hold of it, they were sent to court. So the girl says that I felt that this person was also an Israeli, so I allowed myself on him. I allowed him to have the better over me. Now, they made it an issue. What they say? Rape by deception. What? Rape by deception, and because of rape by deception, now he must be imprisoned 21 years. Now, the whole Muslim world is singing, hey, what zulm and what oppression. But isne apna muh ko kala kiya? Anybody's thought about that? You see our reasoning, how it goes. It's controlled by something else. Something else is controlling our minds. It's not the Sharia, not the Quran, not the Hadith that is controlling the mind. Right? Nobody's saying, yes, this person must be killed. In an Islamic land, you're doing this, you must be killed. Nobody's talking about that. But we're talking about the other side. I don't say that this law is based on oppression and cruelty. I don't say it's not based on bias and prejudice. But can't we think that this person was fit for punishment? Can't we think like this? So, inni bima ta'amaloon alim. I explained just now that if you don't allow these standards to enslave your mind, to control your mind, to program your mind, then there are a lot of things that will program your mind. Right? It's either your business, either your profession, either your friends, your wife, nafs, popularity. You have got some acknowledgement, people acknowledge popularity. These are things that will then read you, it will dictate to you. And for you to reverse, it's not going to be an easy thing. As Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi, he explained, when you go to an alim, learned person, educated person, doesn't have to be an alim only in deen, educated person, then you don't force him to go to get joined to your work. You don't force him to join up with your work. He says thereafter, ki agar usne na kaha, to uske na ko ha banana bara mushkil hai. Because if it's an educated person, if he says no, then to change that no to yes becomes very difficult. So his ego is greater than a normal person's ego. A normal person, all right, said yes, today, tomorrow I can say no. Or I said today, I said no, tomorrow I can change into yes. It's not a train smash, it's an easy thing. I can just make an adjustment. But for a person that is educated, no, if he said something, then for him to reverse, it's not an easy thing. It's very difficult, very, very difficult. So Allah Ta'ala is asking us and is showing us, إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ, that I am showing you the mental dimension. What should be the mental dimension? You are being subjugated by your mind. That thing is enslaving you. That thing is calling the shots. It is telling you what to do. Right? It's humiliating you. The mind is humiliating you. Doesn't the mind humiliate you? You're seeing fashion, funky clothing, right? Funky clothing actually refers to monkey clothing. Really, when I analyze the thing, so I see this monkey clothing. So the whole body is revealed. Some blue color, green color, yellow color, and body revealing tight. So monkey, you can see some of its private areas. Come on, you see it. You can see it's revealing. So this thing also is revealing. So funky clothing really is monkey clothing. Right. So now we come to this mental dimension. What should be the mental dimension? Should you allow yourself to be a monkey? Monkey see, monkey do. The whole world is talking about it. Let me do it also. Let me go on the same line. The whole world is talking about it. Let me talk about it. No, but I lam yakhirru idha dhukiru bi ayati rabbihim lam yakhirru alayha summa wa umyana. You were reminded about deen that you won't just fall. You see a people gathering at a grave and they're prostrating. You won't just fall to it. You will see it in this level, that are they very, very matured? Now, for example, Tabligh Jamaat movement, right? Before 1962, this country didn't know what was Tabligh Jamaat, right? Then that thing started off. And when it started off, what was the duty of the people? The duty of the people was to see the people that are mentally mature, and sincere, they are selfless and mature. So when we look at them, we see all the ulama are supporting it. All our khayal ulama, sincere, deep-rooted in ilm, knowledge, Mawlana Ansari, Mawlana Abdullah Kumarji Sahib, rahmatullah alayhima, and all the other senior ulama, all were in agreement. So mentally they are mature, they are selfless, they are not accepting bribes, etc. for dini reasons, right? So you see them all mentally mature. Now you join them, and you see today after 50 years, you see the fruit of their efforts. It took so many years, but aren't you seeing the fruit of the effort? You're seeing the fruit of the effort. It's going in the right direction. You're seeing the fruit as well. You've invested, but you're seeing the fruit as well. You've invested, and you're seeing the fruit of it as well. So you feel delighted. You feel appreciated. You feel that you have invested in the right way. You have lifted your foot. You have raised your foot in the right direction. You are seeing the dividends. You are seeing the returns. لَمْ يَخِرُّ عَلِيْهَا سُمَّ وَأُمْيَانَ But around the same time, you had other movements as well. Right? 1962. You had other movements as well. Right? Some youth movements, etc. Like they were off the cause, then they're off the cause today as well. You had them then off the cause. They call them youth. Immature, right? They call them immature. And they're still immature. They're still youth. So they were immature in their approach. To this day, they're immature. Now you look at the magazines, the papers, etc. Coming in different names. But the whole dimension is different. Now you're seeing a woman coming up, right? You're seeing a man coming up. You're seeing an advertisement of a burkini. Burkini, in other words, a bikini, and a Muslim version of a bikini, how it should be. The whole body is revealing. Just that it's called burkini. Now, a normal Muslim, if this paper is going into a house, what she thinks, oh, this is a Muslim burqi, Muslims can swim, and they can wear this type of clothing. Won't they think like this? Will they think, or won't they think like this? They'll think like this. They are seeing men and women's photos there. So, the normal consumer, what will he feel? Will he feel that this is right or wrong? So, no, all Muslims are doing it. لَمْ يَخِرُّ عَلَيْهَا سُمَّ Look at this Quranic verse again. Just speak to your conscience. Speak to your conscience, your own heart, speak to it. Is this right? You're seeing a Muslim coming up, a professor or a lecturer or whatever, he's coming up, his photo is coming up, and he's speaking about Islam. He's got no tikana of the beard, no tikana of his head, no tikana of his clothing, and now he's become an authority on deen. Now, is that the right thing? Is that the right thing? Does he deserve to become an authority on Islamic issues? But all these things is coming in the homes. إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ When you're reminded about deen, in different forums, from a paper, from the member, from the radio, from the television, different forums, you are reminded about the same thing. إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّ وَعُمْيَانَا You just don't fall like deaf and dumb things. Rather, you use your mind. Hey, now, what must I do? See, ulama-i kiram, buzrugana deen, mashayikh, path have they adopted? What way have they adopted? As far as the deen is concerned, understanding is concerned, I see they're very mature. Very mature. They may seem to be simple. They may seem not to be conspicuous and outstanding. They may seem not to be giving fiery talks, right? But I see a level of maturity in them. So when I see a level of maturity in them, let me invest with them, right? In our money, we are very, very careful, don't we? If we want to invest couple of millions, right? We won't just go and invest them. We'll do our homework properly. You know? This thing seems very lucrative. This thing seems to be right. I see it's got a history. Make an inventory. I see it's got a history. Then I invest. So the same applies to my own self. I want to make an investment. So don't I make an inventory. Don't I make a research. Don't go and analyze. إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّ وَعُمْيَانَ So this is Al-Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, his formula for being on the right cause. His formula of being on the right cause. You look at those people that are pioneering, driving this whole thing. Have they got a maturity? Have they got some type of a dini history behind them? And I would say the third thing is there anything forthcoming? in this effort of this, in this movement of this, is there anything that is forthcoming? Are they all wearing girls, whatever? After a year, 2 years, now you're seeing, in spite of you having just two musallis, now you've got 20 musallis. Oh no, there's something coming here. Right? Oh, now before there were just one, was just one woman that was wearing a burqa and hijab. Now we see 50 women got burqa and hijab. Now they're being identified. Oh no, 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 it's the right thing. So now you're allowing yourself to think a little bit openly. you are rationalizing, you're opening your mind. See? You're understanding and you're opening your mind. You are giving some type of justice to your conscience. You are doing some justice to your conscience. You're not being unjust towards your consciousness. You know, you are being just towards it. So now, is this the right thing now? I see this is the effort and I see that this is the reward. This was the effort and this was the return. No, mashallah. There were two people and now 20 people. Hey, now if I'm going to delay, what's going to happen? See how your reasoning is going to take you. That this investment is going to grow, right? It started off small. It started off small and it's going to grow. From 2 to 20, it already carried on. It already moved on. Now when it's going to be from 20 to 2,000, and then I will be scratching my head and I'll be regretting that I didn't invest in this. Now the right thing is, let me invest in it. Because when the profits and the returns are going to come out, it'll be so much more. And the reward will be on the pioneers who started it off. They're going to get the maximum, the bulk of the profits, right? MTN came out, and the people that were the service providers, right? They were serving, they were providing the service, they got the bulk of the profits. Now when the profits are coming to hundreds of thousands, now you're scratching, hey, I only invested here, I would have invested in the right place. Right? And I'm seeing the returns. Now, when you're seeing the returns, then you need to open your mind. Right? So what are the returns? I'm seeing this. Now I need to invest in this. See? So now this is how we look and how we reason, how we rationalize. Inni bima ta'amaloon alim. Do you see this verse of the Quran? Inni bima ta'amaloon alim. Now it's such an important aspect. Inni bima ta'amaloon alim. When Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam had come to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi salam and asked those questions. There are basically four questions that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam had asked Hazrat Rasulullah Pak sallam. What is Iman? Mal Islam? What is Islam? Mal Ihsan? And what is Ihsan? And Matassa. So these were the three questions about what to do. Matassa, and when is Qiyamah? In other words, then when will be the time for the remuneration? Right. Matassa, what does it amount to? What does it amount to? We're going to do all this here. Then when are we going to get paid out? When are we going to get paid out? That is now a natural question. I'm going to make namaz, roza, zakat, etc., whatever else. Then what? In the first month or the last week of the month, first week of the month or the last week of the month, what are going to be the perks? What is going to be the remuneration like? What will be the commission? Right. So this is what you want to know. The mind wants to know, all right, I'm going to do all this, what am I going to get? And when am I going to get it? Right. So you want to know all these things here. So these were the four basic questions. So that doesn't relate to action. The first three relate to action. Iman, Islam, and the third is Ihsan. After Iman and Islam, what Jibreel Islam asks, what is Ihsan? And if you analyze Ihsan, and Inni bima ta'amaloon alim is one and the same thing exactly. Inni bima ta'amaloon alim and Mal Ihsan is one and the same thing, that you worship Allah Ta'ala. In other words, at all moments of your life, worship doesn't refer to namaz only. But in all walks of your life, inni bima ta'amaloon alim, I know what you are doing. What you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're reasoning, are you caring about going about carrying things? What you're doing, I know about it. I know it all. Inni bima ta'amaloon alim. In fact, I know it before you could have started what you're going to get into, then I know about it already. I know your future. So listen to me then. When I know, then you listen to me. I know in 76 when I went to India, so I had come to Nizamuddin from Bombay. Bombay to Nizamuddin. From Nizamuddin to Dioban. Right? Now from Nizamuddin first I went to Sangpur, I met the Sheikh Ramtali, Mona Asadullah Sab, Marhum, Maghfur, all these people. Then from Saharanpur, I had come to Dioban. The Sheikh had just completed his i'tikaf. Right? So I met him at the Buzurganadin. So Mona Yusuf Tutla Sab, he asked Hazrat Hakim Abdul Quddus Sab. He was also one of the senior khalifas of Mona Zakaria Sab, rahmatullah alayhi. So he asked Hakim Abdul Quddus Sab that you are going to Dioban, so why don't you leave him at Dioban? So Hakim Abdul Quddus Sab, he accompanied me. He showed me how to come to Dioban. All right. Now, on the road now, you're still young, feeling very hungry. Ramzan just ended. And on the platforms, they're selling all these puris and lemons and cucumber and all these things here. So that is very, very enticing. And with all the masalas and the lemon and garmi kehta hai ke mera kaam hai. It's heat, you know, it's hot. And you're seeing the lemon going on, all that. So it's enticing. So I went and bought one. I was enjoying it because of the spice. The lemon added, I was enjoying. Hakim Sahib said, please don't take it. You'll eat this and then you'll come back to me. Now, I was still too young. I was already enjoying it. And then Hakim Sahib had to tell me this. So now let me finish it next time I bought by it. Hakim Sahib said, don't take this. You'll eat this and then you'll come back to me. And exactly like he told me. I went and ate all that spice and all that. And for about 5 or 6 months after that, I had diarrhea. 5, 6 months, one way carried on. And I was taking the treatment by Hazrat Hakim Sahib. He told me, you'll take this and you'll come back running to me. Right? So I took that thing and I came back running, I think for 5, 6 months and he carried on. Right? So Allah is saying, I know it all. I know it all, what you are doing, I know it all. I know the ground plan, I know the whole thing, I know the works. Just trust in me and just listen to me, khalas. Don't ask too many questions. Just trust me and just do what I'm saying. Inni bima ta'malun alayh. Now your deeds, I say, your deeds, your actions, your behavior, right, are subject to the mind. But what will be the thing that will prompt the mind, will enslave the mind? Right? That mind has enslaved you. Now, what must be the thing that will enslave your mind? The same verse, inni bima ta'malun alayh. You conscientize yourself that Allah Ta'ala knows it all, whether it's present, whether it is past, whether it is future, He knows it all. He knows it all. He knows everything. Your intentions, discreet, open, everything, He knows about it. So to the extent that you will conscientize yourself, إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ, you will find progress in your behavior, in your actions, in your deed. Everything will be just picking up. Everything will be just improving all the time. This investment that you made, this investment will be just improving all the time. But that is now subject to how much you conscientize yourself. إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. You made an investment and you want progress, you want the thing to just rise all the time. You got a property in Spingarail, you're getting 2,000 rands, I want it to come to 20,000 rands. That's your mind. Doesn't your mind work like that? You want it to show more and more all the time, from 20 to 200. So you want it to show more and more all the time. So now, what is going to enslave your mind? It is this verse, إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. It is مَلْ إِحْسَانٌ. Allah Pak knows it all. He knows it all. What you are doing, what you were doing, and what you are doing presently, what you're going to do 1 year's time, what's going to happen to you and your children a million years from now, that also He knows. What's going to happen? And what you're going to do, He knows. So all you need to do is conscientize yourself with إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. I know it all. Your levels of sincerity, everything, I know it. And then, how do you correct your mind? I told you that you correct it with this verse. But now, how do you make it reason correctly that this is the right investment or the wrong investment, right? In this world, when you want to make an investment, you go to those people that are in charge of the stock market, right? They know about it, how the fluctuations, how they move. You go and speak to them. Or those people that have dealt with it, go and tell them, right? And I want to make an investment, what do you think? Then they tell you, don't put your eggs in one basket. This thing will crash. One is coming up, one is going down. So there'll be a balance, etc. They will advise you accordingly, right? So similarly now, in your dini matters, who should you ask, right? Explain to you, those who have got a maturity, they've got understanding, they've got maturity, there's something that is forthcoming in the advices that they give, in the counseling that they give, the reasoning and the sermons that they're giving, there is something that is forthcoming. You see that, then you follow them. You don't just go by a fiery speech. You know, if it's a surgeon, for example, you won't just get impressed by the surgeon if he's giving a fiery speech. One friend of mine was telling me, strong of two heart professors, he says, one is 40 years old, and the other one is 75 years old. He's quite acquainted with both, so he's telling me, the one that is 48, you will get impressed with him. The way he'll talk, and the way he conducts himself, and whatever else, terms that he uses, and how he carries himself, you will get impressed. This one is that he's 75 years, you will never get impressed with him. He'll carry on like an old man, small, simple little things he'll tell you, but you'll never get impressed and moved with him. But listen to me, you listen to that old man, not this one that is young. Because he'll tell you exactly what he must do. He's got thousands of cases that came under him. He's got thousands of cases that came under him, you go with him. He'll be very simple, he'll be shout you also, don't you eat this. Why you came to me? Why you came to me? You don't want to follow my instructions, why did you come to me? So he's telling you like this. And that other is going to tell you, oh, you know what, this artery is like this, and that thing is blocked like that, and that's how you're going to do the bypass, and whatever else. You're going to tell you the whole story. But yeah, he's going to shout you, why you at this? I told you must go and do this exercise. Why didn't you do this? This medication, I told you, why didn't you take this? Now that is the right person. Right? This one here is going to give you a long story, and he's going to take much more from you. He's going to shout you, but he'll tell you things what you need to do exactly. So you just go with him. Now in our worldly things also, we'll go by a person who's mature. There's something that is forthcoming. We'll look at his track record. Right? We'll look at all the details and then we'll go. So you see this verse, إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. It's so small, and it's got everything. Like I was saying, you get dynamites packed in small packages, right? So this is the Quran Sharif. Small packages. But it's got all the solutions. Don't say dynamite. Dynamite is destructive. Quran is not destructive. It is making you. Right? It is making. It is finding solutions. So it's packaged in small verses. Small verses. It's packaged in small verses. But it's got so much of beauty, so much of comprehensive nature in it. It's got everything that you can't even dream of. It's workable now. It's workable million years from now. And it was workable thousands of years from now. All the time it's workable. It's showing its merit. It's showing its product. It's showing its value. Then why don't you just go by it? Inni bima ta'amaluna alim. Allah is saying, I know it all what you are doing. I know you all. What you're doing, I know your conduct. I know you all. He's telling you already. Bima ta'amaluna alim. And he's saying it with emphasis. Inni, with emphasis. Alim is also with emphasis. I know it full. You know, I say, Inni bima ta'amaluna alim. Mubalagha. I know it all. Not just I know it. I know what you're doing. No, I know it all. I know everything. So when he knows it, everything, he knows all, he knows the future, he knows you, he knows what's better for you, then why don't you just conscientize your mind with this verse, إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq.